you need to go to sleep, just go to sleep. He's standing here at the edge of the we have a wondery sociable rat. He's standing
I've
here.
Noticed this, because this is two podcasts in a row that the rat wanted to be part of the audience.
And he is standing at the door, but he is falling asleep standing up at the door, because I'm here. There's a human nearby. He does not want to leave while a human is nearby.
So what you're saying is, Teddy wants so badly to be a part of our podcast audience, and at the same time, we're boring him to sleep.
Wow, yes.
That's awesome. This is promising. Off to a good start. Audience of one, putting him to sleep. Okay. Well, let's say something official now. Let's make sort of an officially type beginning and say, This is Sons of the Double Cheeseburger. It's great to just talk into the ether today. And we're hoping that someone will actually hear it. And if you're the person who hears it, welcome.
Hi.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Kevin.
And we're brothers. And we like it that way.
Generally speaking.
Generally speaking, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So for those of you who are listening for the first time, which would be everybody, because nobody's ever listened to this before, what we're going to do is we're going to just talk about one topic that we had been thinking about a little bit, and then we're going to talk about, each of us is going to share something that is restoring or sustaining our faith in humanity this week. And at least for me, one of the goals of doing this podcast, you know, there are everyone's indoors now. Everyone is stuck at home now, right? This is a perfect time to launch. I was a little sad that one of my podcast heroes, Paul F. Tompkins, has launched a podcast that he's doing at home. It's all about being at home. I was like, dang it, Paul. You know, leave something for the rest of us. But no. Did you see this, by the way, Kevin?
That's Stay F. Homekins?
Yeah, Stay F. Homekins.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I haven't listened to it, but I'm assuming that I can recommend it, because he's great. But I would say go listen to that after you listen to this. That I'm talking to you right now, Kevin. So don't go listen
let's
now.
Let's not compare it. We don't want to compare the two. I don't think we're trying to accomplish the same thing.
No, it's apples and oranges, I'm sure.
I think he's trying to be interesting and humorous.
We're trying to survive.
Insightful and...
funny.
Right, we're trying to scream into the darkness and hope that somebody hears us.
But we're also trying to be funny, yeah. But he's a polished professional, and he actually gets paid to be funny. And you and I, when we get paid, it's in spite of our being funny, generally. So that's the big difference. Yeah. Let's also do a little check-in. Like a brief
My sleeping pet has awakened, and then he went back to sleep.
Oh, so we started to really bring the interesting, and the rat is like, I'm in.
Right.
I'm there for it.
Right, so we have here in the Aurora Woosley home, the Kevin Woosley home, we have two pet rats. We have Teddy, who looks like a teddy bear, or Theodore Roosevelt, it's up to you. And we have Spot, who has a large white spot on his belly, hence Spot. They used to have a brother named Buttons. Buttons has passed on. In any event, Teddy is very sociable, and Teddy, because I'm within voice range of him, he can hear me. He has to be alert and ready for potential snacks
or
cuddles, so...
I'm also ready for both of those, by the way, anytime you're ready. By the way, just quick
show
question.
Show me your
belly. Buttons. Just look. There it is. Can you see?
How does that feel? How does that feel? Mm. How does that feel, buddy?
Oh, that feels good. Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. Mm.
So, Kevin, maybe actually let's do a little check-in, too.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, just to see. So, how are you doing this week? You did say... I'm not trying to get you oversharing. You did say you're dealing with the cooped up inside anxiety.
Yes, I am. I deal with the anxiety anyway.
Yeah.
But I am finding that the change in everyone else's routine is causing me a bit more stress and anxiety. Yeah. It's also causing them stress and anxiety, which in turn, there's a bit of a feedback loop now. Everyone is out of sorts, and no one wants to be continuing to do this any longer.
Right.
But we are clearly in this for the long haul. Mm-hmm. So there's some adjusting going on right now.
So you're saying it's kind of happened, like that feedback loop is where people are having their own anxiety or their own frustrations because of the changes in their routine. Mm-hmm. And then your frustration at the changes in their routine is connecting to that, and it's sort of building on it. I get that. We are, of course, only in day one of having that level of change for the most part. We had a little bit last week, but it was mostly, Christy was home with the kids. Today was...
Christy is your amanuensis?
Christy is my amanuensis, that's correct. Also, hey, side note, I forgot to show, when we're doing catching up on how things are doing, she's also my wife. I may not have mentioned that to you.
I think I recall something about that.
We got married like 20 years ago, so right, I might have forgotten to mention it since then. But yeah, my wife. So today was my first official day, or at least my first official like work day, of not having a job. So that was fun. And
yeah.
But so you know what I did for my first day of not having a job?
You didn't work.
I went to my job. So I might be doing it wrong. So
I don't think you're very good at being unemployed at this
point. No, I'm not. Well, so what I am now is I'm a contractor. I'm doing specific work for the agency, and so I'm going to take over a lot of the training work. At least temporarily, I'm going to really take that so that other people in the team are freed up from that. So I did a training today, I do a training tomorrow, then I don't have to go back into the office until Thursday. So yeah, I'm doing the stay at home because we're quarantined and you have no job, but I'm doing it in the way where you still leave the house and go to your job. I can see where that may be confusing for some people.
Well, you know, you're trying things out right now.
Trying things
out. You're seeing what works. I'm
thinking, like, what are the different ways you could go about not having a job and staying at home all the time? Like, maybe one of them is still go to your job and leave home. Just trying it out. It's not everyone's path, but I'm trying it. But I was only gone for a short time. Just gone for, like, 3 or 4 hours. So then I was home the rest of the day. So we are starting to feel that rhythm. And again, over the weekend, you know, just the fact that you're not really going anywhere was driving poor Zachary insane. So he and I took a long walk today, and he was delighted by that.
Yeah, we have to have it stop raining or snowing here. I'd like to get out of the house more.
Yeah. Yeah. But we do have an exercise bike here. We tried to convince Zach to ride that. He rode for 15 seconds today, and that's all done. Christy said a while ago, she was, literally said, hey, let's do 15 minutes. He did 15 seconds, and when it said 15 on the screen, he said, all done. So he's got the Woosley exercise gene. That's for sure.
He did more than me today. So
there you go.
He's winning.
So, So yeah, I guess that's kind of what we got going on. We're doing that. We're watching things on TV probably. Are you doing some of that?
Actually, no. We have not watched any TV at all today.
Well, that's probably good for you.
Well, probably. Maybe it would have helped to watch a little bit. I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe a little bit, so, just to stop focusing on other things for a little while.
What we did didn't work entirely, so maybe that would have worked better. I don't know.
Maybe.
I did a lot of... the kids are still doing some school-related things.
Sure.
online with friends and or classmates.
Yeah.
Usually the same thing. Yeah, when while they were lucky, doing that, I was listening to thing. I was listening to a book on tape.
Was it, so was this an audiobook or was it actually a book on tape?
Audiobook. Yes, okay. I guess I should.
I was hoping you were kicking it super old school. You got out your Walkman.
Yes, no, on reel to reel. Yes.
Oh, that kind of book. Yes, the best. Yes. Sigmund Freud. Read by Sigmund Freud. Sorry.
Speaking of, there's actually there's a kind of a subset of audiobooks that are read by the author.
Yeah.
I think my favorite of those, because what we would do at times was have a book on tape in the car. The kids liked to listen to something, either on the way to school, or sometimes if we were coming back from someplace in the evening, that would be kind of a calming, relaxing sort of thing.
Sure.
My favorite that I have run across is E.B. White reading his works.
Oh, nice.
He does not have a voice that you would typically think someone would pick out and identify as a narrating voice. It's a softer tone, and he's got a little bit of some kind of more unusual inflections.
Okay.
But it actually, it ends up really working. But so it's
nice.
Yeah.
I bet, now that I'm thinking about that, I bet like Truman Capote reading In Cold Blood, that wouldn't have been good. That would not have, worked.
That would have been ideal. Really? It's gonna be a whole genre. We could do a whole list of people you would not want to hear read what they've written.
Maybe we could do this like an assignment to each other, where like every week what we would do is I would give you a book or you would give me a book, and then we come back the next week and we need to identify who's the worst candidate to read that book for an audiobook that we could think of.
I was about to throw some shade at somebody, but I decided not to, because I figure we're early enough on that we don't need to offend any potential.
Was it going to be consumers, somebody that we might potentially be able to bring on the podcast as an interview subject?
Yeah. No, I'm almost certain we would never bring this person on the podcast. But I was going to say, Steve would Martin. Not want to hear Rick Kogan read anything by Rick Kogan. His voice is fabulous, but I don't like anything he writes.
There you go.
So that's for a slightly different reason.
So that's the problem. Because his voice makes you go, I want to listen to this voice, but I don't want to hear these words.
Yeah. Do you want to hear my Rick Kogan story?
Yes.
It's about 15 years ago now.
I thought you were going to tell me how long the story was.
It seems that way so far. We're just getting started. I was listening on the radio, and he was filling in for somebody, and so Rick Hogan was talking. There was a contest. You could win tickets to the Cubs game.
Okay.
Chicago Cubs baseball team.
Yes.
And I called in, and I happened to be the winning caller.
Nice.
And so he gets me on. The producer says, Rick would like to banter with you a little bit. Is that okay? And I'm like, sure, that's fine. And he gets me on, and I had just been to a psychiatrist appointment.
Okay.
And he says, so what are you doing here today? And I was like, oh, I'm just, running some errands. And he's like, well, what do you mean, like errands? What kind of errands are you doing? And I was like, well, I went to a doctor appointment. I'm going to the pharmacy, just taking care of some things. He's like, what are you getting at the pharmacy? And I was like... It's like, that's between me and my psychiatrist.
Rick Kogan violating HIPAA for you.
And, so I said, that's between me and my psychiatrist. And then he got real quiet. Like, there was no talking for a good 15 seconds on the air of WGN, the largest radio station in Chicago.
Yeah, 50,000 watt blowtorch.
I said, so, what do we do next? And that was that. And then... the next person who spoke was not Rick Hogan. It was like the news person. So I think for some reason, I didn't think I had said anything terrible or I'd said anything particularly witty that he couldn't respond to.
Yeah.
But he kind of went Hawk Harrelson there, and he wouldn't talk for almost 30 seconds. So anyway.
And by the way, for all the kids in our audience, for all the millennials in our audience, and for all the fans of National League Baseball, when Kevin says he went all Hawk Harrelson, Hawk Harrelson was the less than illustrious announcer for the Chicago White Sox, who would quit talking as a form of protest when his team was bad, which was most of the time. Actually, now that I think about it, he should have quit talking more. Nevertheless. Okay, that's it. I like that Rick Hogan story. So you stumped the Kogan. I like that.
Right. That's now a regular feature on WGN.
Stump the Kogan. Yeah.
Stump the Kogan. Yeah.
So I was going to actually say, and I'm still going to say it, even though it's a very different direction, because when you were saying author-read audiobooks that you really liked, the one that immediately sprang to mind to me, I'll offer it to you anyway, but it's much less heartwarming than E.B. White reading his works, is Neil Gaiman reading Norse mythology, which was really interesting. Gaiman's take on Norse mythology, I just find really, it really brought it to contemporary. It didn't like take it out of its ancient roots, but he just managed to speak in ways that didn't seem archaic at all times, while still feeling the age of the mythology. And he's got a nice voice. So that was really great. So there we got a little check-in on what we've been doing and a little up some media options, which is good for people because after they listen to this podcast and don't go listen to Paul F. Tompkins, they need something else to listen to. So now we gave them some things. By the way, if Paul wants to come on the show, Kevin, do you have him? Will we welcome Paul F. Tompkins onto the show?
Sure. I mean, okay. Of course we would. But no, he's not coming on the show.
He's not?
No.
Are you sure? I'm gonna tag him in the show notes and see if we can get him to come on in. All right. So, when we were talking about something to discuss this for this conversation, I was talking about how I'd been thinking about the wish that social media could actually be what people need right now. So people need to be isolated physically, but not isolated emotionally and socially. And it would be great if you had something where people could just chat with each other and share pictures and share thoughts, you know, something like Facebook before it became overrun by evil, or, you know, Twitter before it became the domain of whatever nonsense it is. Mm-hmm. But they're not. And they managed to kill off MySpace, so we don't have that.
Right, no Friendster.
Friendster's gone.
Or
maybe Google it's Plus. Time for a Google Plus revival.
No.
What do you think? I mean, all the Google employees are supposed to be staying home right now, so maybe they can't get it together. But it was just sitting there unused. I mean, that's the thing. Like, what we needed is a clean start with a social media platform right now. And Google Plus was basically not used by anybody. So well, there waiting.
There is a platform right now that purports to be kind of the anti-Facebook in terms of its approach to, you know, its civic mindedness.
Yeah, what is
called
it?
Called MeWe.
MeWe.
Yes.
Like MeWe?
That is correct.
Nice. What do you know about it?
I know that I signed up for it at the urging of someone else or at the suggestion of someone else.
Okay.
and that's all I know, because there's been basically no activity. I have no connections. I have nothing.
All right, well, so I'm going to have to sign up for MeWe. And if anyone else in our listening audience, which might just be me and thee, chooses to sign up for MeWe, then we can maybe have them connect with you.
Right, and we do not receive any promotional considerations.
That is correct. Not yet. But maybe next week's episode will be brought to you by MeWe. This week's episode is probably just brought to you by us and maybe Anchor.
You are really ambitious. We're going to have Paul F. Tompkins on there. We're going to have sponsorships.
The Scar Brothers and MeWe.
I'm not even sure we're going to have content.
I got huge plans for this thing. By the way, I'm wondering, the people who made MeWe, do you think there's any chance that they landed on that name because they didn't want to get sued by the estate of Martin Buber? And they couldn't go with I Thou?
Oh, God. Let's go back to the Rick Hogan references that are going to be much more relevant to people.
These are timely millennial references. We are slotting in a demo here. I want to invite the listener at home to rank these references by their obscurity and send that to us. Send to us using a postcard. I'll leave an address.
Send that to Sons of the Double Cheeseburger at P.O. Box 456, Poughkeepsie, New York. Whatever that zip code is.
I believe the zip code in New York, Poughkeepsie, New York, is 37499.
I really should have made that. I don't know why I'm eating the microphone right now, but I should have made that King of Prussia, Pennsylvania.
You should have. That would have been a callback to last week's episode, the rarely listened to. By the way, let me see if I got it right. Nope, I was totally wrong about Poughkeepsie's zip code.
Really?
Yeah. I just made it up because I wanted to say double niner. I don't know why, but I did. It's 1261. I'm sorry, 12601. That's frankly not very interesting. So it makes bad podcast.
Zip codes make bad podcasts.
Although maybe that's maybe somebody does a podcast that's just zip codes.
Oh my god!
That'd be
you
so.
What's gonna happen?
Yeah. Next so today week's... we're talking about zip codes in Southern Ohio.
So we're gonna find out the next week's
Youngstown
Stay of Homekins is going to be about zip codes. That's what it's going to be.
Then we will know that either Paul or his wife, Janie, is listening to our podcast. And if they are, Paul and Janie, hi, big fans. Thanks for listening. And if they're not, sad face.
I wouldn't take it personally at this point. I really wouldn't.
That's how you drive yourself forward. Take everything personally. Wise man once said that, I think. Take everything personally.
Offense. Yes. Rage. These are all the positive motivators in life.
I believe that wise man was Nixon?
Self-loathing. Oh, now you've made it political.
I did. And topical. Because nothing more topical than some Nixon references to go with your Martin Buber.
Good Lord. I couldn't reach the cough button there on time.
By the way, I've used the cough button 3 times. Have you noticed any times that I coughed?
No, I have not.
Sweet, that means it's working. The lack of coughing means it's working. That's right. So I would say that somebody stumbling upon this for the first time might guess wrong as to what decade we're recording this in. Or century.
Or why?
Let's see, they mentioned Nixon, Martin Buber, Studs Terkel, Mike Royko. I'm going to guess 1982?
Ow. Okay, so...
Which then leads you to another question. Why would you and I be dropping references that would have been timely for us when we were 10 and 12 years old?
Because we've always been this pathetic.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Out of step from the beginning.
Should we tell people why this is called Sons of the Double Cheeseburger?
Yeah, why don't you go for that?
Okay. In our casting about to come up with a name, we sought the opinions of some others, one of those being my daughter, who is full of opinions. And she suggested a number of different names, but she... One of them she suggested was Sons of the Double Cheeseburger, and that is because Brandon and I have a father who tells lots of stories. One of the stories he tells is that as a young man, having left Missouri after graduating from high school, he moved to Des Plaines.
Which, as far as we can tell, is accurate.
Correct. And in Des Plaines at that time was the first McDonald's franchise.
Correct.
I guess there's that McDonald's Brothers one in San Bernardino or wherever that was.
Yeah, somewhere down
there. The first Ray Kroc McDonald's, what became McDonald's.
Correct.
Was in Des Plaines. And at that point, it was just the one McDonald's location.
And Des Plaines, Illinois, by the way, suburb of Chicago.
Right, right. North, north, northwest.
I know a lot of the people who follow me out here in California are going to be lost at the geography at this point, so I wanted to, if they're still listening.
Right, and Des Plaines is just a poor pronunciation of the French word de plomb, right?
De plomb, yeah. Yes, which means the plain.
Right. But let's Des Plaines that. In Illinois, not Illinois.
No.
When do you use the S? You never know.
That's funny. So it's Des Plaines, and then it's Illinois, right?
Right. But it should really be like Illinois, right? I don't know.
Probably Des Plaines, Illinois. Ooh, maybe we should pronounce it like that from now on. Illinois.
So
I like it. Go ahead.
We do know that he worked at this McDonald's.
Yes.
Off and on. I think he indicates that he worked there for a period, maybe didn't for a little while, worked there again.
Yes.
Not sure how long.
I believe he left temporarily to found Burger King, and then he came back.
At that point, he was dating Wendy, and so he...
Yes. Had a roommate named Carl Jr.
So his claim is that on his lunch break, they were allowed to make themselves a meal. And that he would put two patties, two pieces of cheese, on one bun.
Hence a double cheeseburger.
Right. And he says he suggested that to Ray Kroc.
Because hitherto that, no one had thought of that.
Right. So his thought is, he is the first person to have done that. And then eventually it made its way onto a menu, and that was really his idea, and just one of the many ways in which he's been wronged in life.
Yeah.
Now, I would say that we've all heard of the Dagwood sandwich, right?
I'm familiar with that.
Right. Which a Dagwood is really like, if you make it in terms of a hamburger, it is a double meat patty.
It's true.
sandwich. And I think the Dagwood probably predates our father's experiments with multiple pieces of meat and cheese.
I believe it does. Plus, there's also the fact that, like, a person, upon eating a sandwich of meat, cheese on a bun, could think to themselves, what if there was more? Like, that's a thing you could do.
Right, but I don't know that that actually rules out that he invented it, because many people have had ideas.
It's true.
And not done anything.
And none of them acted on it.
Right, right. How many people thought, I sure wish I could talk to my relative who now lives hundreds of miles away, but none of them invented the telephone.
It's true.
Alexander Graham Bell stole that idea from somebody else.
That's a good point. I will say, I think though, the other thing working against our dad's interpretation of history here is that the barrier to entry on, like, the double cheeseburger is lower than on, say, the telephone.
Right. That's...
Because it's not like... People are like, this would be great if I put more meat and more cheese. But how would one do that? I don't have a degree in physics.
I don't have the money for that.
I mean, I'm not just made out of meat and cheese here.
So he had motive. He was hungry.
Sure did.
Opportunity. He worked in a hamburger establishment.
Indeed.
And that's really where he... I mean, Of the many stories we have heard from our father, this is one of them that I actually am more inclined to allow him some leeway on.
Yeah. So we're going to go ahead with that. We're going to say he invented the double cheeseburger, our dad. Ray Kroc stole it from him. We should be so rich from all of the residuals that we don't ever have to do anything again in our lives, but we're not, so we're doing this podcast.
Yeah,
to make all the double cheeseburger money that we should have had rightfully come to us by now.
I mean, we should be...
All right, well, let's say that we're going to take a break, and this would be the place where we'll have a break, and then we'll come back, and we're going to talk about what is causing us to still have faith in humanity this week. How does that sound?
Sure, yeah.
So we're coming back from break, and Kevin made the good point when we were... at break that we're talking a lot about Paul F. Tompkins, which is appropriate because he's a legend. He's a podcast king. But felt a little sad that we were leaving out John Hodgman. So, and I agreed. So we want, I think, also extend the invitation to you, Judge John Hodgman, when you're ready to come on the show, when you feel like you're up to it, we would love to have you here. Agreed, Kevin?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Hodgman's done a couple of podcasts, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, he has a new one right now, iPodius, or is it...
Oh, right, yeah. They're going through iClaudius, right? Yeah.
Which I have not listened to.
No, I have not
but,
either.
I've not ever watched iClaudius, so I was contemplating... watching iClaudius and then listening to the podcast.
That's also why I haven't listened to Stay F. Homekins yet, because I haven't watched any of the footage I have of the inside of the Tompkins household. I have a hidden camera in there, but I never get around to watching it.
Because there's a lot of just dead space. It's what's interesting. I don't know if you've read the most recent John Hodgman book.
I don't think so.
Medallion Status.
Oh, is that Vacation Land?
No, that is Medallion Status is the most.
Oh, Medallion Status. No, I didn't even know that it was out. No,
he's not coming on the podcast now. I can tell you that.
Jeez, I'm a little behind. Sorry, John Hodgman.
So, but he talks in there about a period of time when he was on a TV show, and he was staying in Paul F. Tompkins' home.
Yeah.
While he was out in L.A. filming the television program. So there's a little tie in. It all kind of comes
that together. Is interesting. It all weaves together. I like it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we said the last thing, because what I'm hoping we can do right now, this is maybe the beginning of this podcast, and I hope that this podcast will last longer than the current coronavirus pandemic, both because I want the podcast to have some legs and I do not want the pandemic to have legs. But we're sort of starting it in this moment. And so I was thinking, too, that maybe another thing we could do is take a little time. Instead of focusing on the kinds of anxiety that sometimes people are feeling or frustration they're feeling right now, to think about something positive that we encountered. So something that is restoring our faith in humanity this week. Kevin, do you have something or do you want me to go first?
That's come across my desk.
Yeah.
Is that... it involves my children's school. Okay. There's a period of time in their classroom when they have, after lunch, they have a read aloud time. Teacher just reads them a little bit, and it's a Montessori classroom, so it's a bit more of an open setting. But kids can be maybe working quietly on some work, or just kind of taking a kind of a transition, just a kind of little break there in the middle of the day, just to relax. And a lot of kids are missing that time while they're at home. I mean, for us adults, I think we're missing facets or elements of our life to which we're accustomed in this. But I think for most kids, it's probably much more disruptive than it is for any of us adults. In terms of their sense of security and what they're used to. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing a reading time. I'm not the positive thing. I've been doing a reading time with my daughter and some of her friends. But then today, twin brothers from their class have started reading aloud a story. They've recorded it and have it posted on YouTube, so that their classmates could go and listen to a story time. And I thought that was cool. A really nice initiative, and it was two kids having a need, something they were feeling like they were missing, and identifying that other people might be missing that as well. And instead of just solving the problem for themselves, they thought, I can do something that will both meet my need and hopefully meet the needs of others.
That's really cool. Yeah. I like that. Nice. You know that, and you're just making me think of something else that wasn't going to be the thing I was going to talk about, but the day program that Josh is in now, where it's called Clarity Art Center, and they're every day they're doing art, learning art skills and history and all these kind of things with their instructors. And of course they're shut down, but we've been so excited because the director of the program is so passionate about making this happen that she's now figuring out how to do, it's going to be a conference call or a group chat or something to help get the individuals together and get them connected with their instructors so that they can continue to work on projects from home. But those two kids doing that, those brothers doing that, that's awesome. I love it. That's a cool example. I like that. See that, of all the times that we have done, what is restoring my faith in humanity this week? That is one of the finest examples we've ever had.
Agreed.
I like it. You got to start it on the right foot. Mine is a little more flippant than that, although not like insincere. The thing that I learned about today is rugby commentator Nick Heath. Do you know who this is?
Oh, yeah, I've seen this. Yes.
So this actually amused me.
Yes.
It may not be everyone's cup of tea, but I did think it was pretty funny that Nick Heath is just putting out a video of him doing play-by-play for everyday events. People walking in the park, dogs playing, things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, keeping it light, keeping it fresh. It was so strange because usually the English don't have any sense of humor. So,
you're eliminating a whole country now from our.
Well, you know why I'm doing that? Because I've already assumed Simon Pegg is not coming on this podcast. But, you know, if he wants to prove me wrong and come on the podcast, I will welcome the challenge. And he can bring Nick Frost or Edgar Wright with him if he wants. No, in fact, he can bring Nick Frost and or Edgar Wright. All three of them could come. I'll accept it. I'll allow it.
Well, there you have it.
So, yeah. So those are things that we're looking at. We're like, you know what? The coronavirus is upsetting and it's not great. And much of the leadership around it has been ineffectual and terrifying. And there's still a great deal of confusion and we don't know where the bottom is, but there are good things. And those good things are going to continue to happen.
Well, and I think actually I think you introduced the topic of other ways in which the technology that we have available to us now,
yeah,
actually rises to the occasion and finds kind of a best version of itself,
mm-hmm,
and helps to meet people's needs. And I think both of our examples, or both of what we shared, are examples of that. You know, I think to limit how we engage socially to just things like social media, like Facebook or Instagram or whatever, TikTok, I could try and name them all, but
Snapchat,
because I see a lot, that's right, yes, I see a lot of ways in which right, I see the lot of ways in which,
rest in peace Vine, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sweet Jesus. So, something I have learned from watching my children is that there are lots of ways in which people interact socially outside of social media.
Yeah.
I think that's something that in kind of the older person wanting to simplify, you know, what the young people are doing nowadays, when they say social media, that it's not just Facebook, Twitter, etc.
Right.
Social media, I think, is probably ultimately a really bad term to describe how we relate with our technology.
Yeah.
Because I think the technology has grown up around at least the intention of being social and interactive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily want to make a commentary on whether or not I think it's actually accomplished that, or whether it was necessary, or if it's accomplished, if it does it well. But I think there's a lot of missing out on the ways that people are engaging with each other when you just hold that narrow view.
Sure. Well, no, I think you're right. And the other thing I was thinking about related to that maybe is that there are these tools that have been, that are sort of the mass media tools that we call social
there
media.
There are plenty of those.
That's correct. Mass media tools. And Tucker Carlson, when you're ready to come on our show, you can go to hell. So, I did it. I turned off the whole Tucker Carlson demo, Kevin.
You went political and blue at the same time.
Man, I only wish I had done that 64 minutes earlier. Anyway, so there are Facebook and TikTok and Twitter. These are like the sort of established tools, right? But it maybe is even more interesting to think about the fact that media itself and like communication skills and dynamics have become more social, in that they have become more immediate, right?
Right.
So it used to be that, I mean, you know, ways of getting in touch with people we can do more readily, more rapidly. And sometimes it's a bad thing. Like when you're at work and you're getting 75 emails a day and every person thinks that they should get a response in 10 minutes, that's bad. But on the other hand, the fact that you could send a message to a family member and get an answer back quickly, whether that's email or whether that's a text, those are good things. The fact that most of us have got phones that have got enough power at this point that we can actually do some video chat. So if you want to talk to somebody and see their face, you could use, whether you're using, you know, like FaceTime or whether you're using, you know, Google's thing. I don't actually know which Google thing at this point because Google has changed their messaging things so many times. Or whether you're using them like House Party, you know what I mean? So there are things like that that actually allow people to connect with each other. And so maybe that's the thing, is that there are the ways to connect with people. There are the ways to be socially engaged, even while we're socially distancing. But they're probably not really Twitter and Facebook. But it's probably the other basic tools that you can pick up and use however you want to use them yourself, whether it's shooting video on your phone and throwing it up on YouTube, or video chatting with somebody, or just sending a text to tell them that you're thinking of them, you care about them.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And I think the rules change in a situation like this. I think we're still, as a society, in a learning curve as to how we use the technology that we have. You know, I think we are intellectually and emotionally quite a few steps behind where our technology is. The capabilities far exceed our ability to understand or manage them.
Sure.
I would imagine over time some of the sense of immediacy that people feel because they can do something, because I can be on my phone all the time, because I can text somebody all the time, because I can talk in any situation that I need to be doing that. I think some of that will change, but I think in this instance now, I think there's going to be a lot of self-righteousness in terms of sit under a tree, take a walk, read a book, you know, pet a gopher, do whatever you got to do, connect more.
Could you give us those ideas as a DJ Night Smooth?
Yeah, I think I can try that.
Yeah.
Take a walk. Read a book. Sex up a gopher.
Ooh, yeah.
Piss off a bridge. I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
I don't even know how to make a bridge angry.
Hi, yo.
But I think now, I think this is a great opportunity for people to find time to put some of those things back in their life.
Yeah.
Because we have a society also that is, the expectations in terms of work and family and extracurriculars is way out of whack with the amount of time that people actually have, both hours and emotional bandwidth, I feel like.
Sure.
But right now, I feel like people, you know, as much as you would want to, with the extra time, add in some of those more maybe contemplative sort of activities, I think it's okay to push or overuse some of the other things that we have available to us. Because if my kids just, if you just say, you're just going to sit around and read all day, you say that to 2 12-and-a-half-year-olds, who are inherently social creatures.
Yeah.
That's just not a reasonable expectation. A 12-year-old boy who is not interacting with friends is a 12-year-old boy that is emotionally lacking something that they need to have.
Sure.
Typically. I don't want to draw a global sort of judgment on that, but my children like to read. I like for my children to read. I like for my children to do more contemplative things, but I just know that they need other people. They can't get everything they need just from themselves at this age. So it's good that we have ways that they can get that. You know, I think it's kind of, you know, it's...
Ways that are more immediate than send a letter and then wait a week or a month for an outpost to come back from the West Coast, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I think you kind of, you have to take the brakes off in this instance a little bit, and allow for some casting out to hopefully get what they need back.
I think that makes sense. Well, I think it's probably a good place for us to stop, though.
Okay.
I think we've solved the problems. So, world, you're welcome. Next week, with no problems in the world, we'll have Paul F. Tompkins and who else did we say was going to be here next week? John Hodgman. And Stephen A. Smith is going to be here next week. It's going to be a crowded show.
That's going to be a good little mix.
And then we will save the Sklar brothers and who else?
Rick Hogan.
The Sklar brothers and Tucker Carlson. And who was the trio of people that I invited earlier? Boy, this is bad. They're going to be upset that I forgot about them now. Oh, no. I'll clean that up in post. All right. But if you actually listened to any of this, thanks. And we hope that you're doing well. And we hope that this helped you to pass the time with a little bit of levity and maybe a little thoughtfulness. And we'll do this again, I don't know, in a few days, in a week, something. Shortly. How does that sound?
Yeah, I think we need the practice.
I think so.
Let's just keep doing it.
Because practice does not make perfect, but perfect practice makes perfect. So we're not going to make perfect practice, but we're just going to keep doing it.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
And that's the note to end on.
I dropped my microphone.